Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I can't believe I'm a dog. Oh, that's messed up.
A magic curse.
I gotta get help now.
One chance to break the spell.
Find true love is the only way.
It will be the quest of a lifetime.
Please help me find a real man.
Oh, she's the one.
There are no real men.
I'm right here.
It's not easy to be a homeless dog, is it?
How about being my roommate?
Why don't we call you Prince? That's what I'll do.
Lisa.
What are you doing here?
I love you.
Back off.
I want you.
She's mine.
You saved my life. I'm gonna stay with you forever. Who are you?
It's Prince. Prince, your dog. I love you. I love you so much.
No!
I'm still a dog.
Till you learn true love, you can only be a man at night.
Love on a leash.
You want dog food?
Yeah, I'm a dog, genius.
Welcome to They Call Us a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast and iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call Us a Movie. We are part of the Main Namey Network, and to find more from us, check out the website, themainnamey.com, or Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, at themainnamey. We're also now a proud member of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com. Welcome back to They Call Us a Movie. This is Anthony Delvecchio, and with me, as always, is Dan Aquino and Mark Meyer. Say hello, gentlemen.
This movie. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't have a bit this week, for obvious reasons, but... I don't know if this was the best movie for us to watch this week or the worst movie for us to watch with everything going on. I still haven't decided.
I don't know if there's a good time to watch this movie, Mark.
You're not allowed to pick movies anymore after this. That privilege has been revoked.
Oh, come on. It can only go. The only place it could go is up. Am I right?
I don't know. With you?
We could watch Troll 2 again and it would be an improvement.
I would rather watch Troll 2.
I think I would watch any other movie that we've ever done compared to this movie. But yeah. Before we get into the movie that we're watching this week, usually what we do when we're all together is we talk about the movies that we watched this past week. So, guys, what are you watching?
Yeah, so I'll start off. I actually watched movies this week, so that's why I wanted to jump in and be first. First movie, not much of a surprise for... you guys, maybe the audience out there, because our friend John had mentioned it in a chat before. I actually went and watched Perks of Being a Wallflower again for the first time in a few years. Just as good as I remembered it. Probably I watched it before Justice League, thank God. So I didn't have any taint of that Ezra Miller performance in that movie, clouding my memory. Overall, that movie's still great. That one was no surprise, but One movie I did watch over on during, I believe it was either Sunday or Monday on Memorial Day weekend. My grandma likes to keep on Turner Classic Movies constantly. So when I was down making, I believe, breakfast that one day, the movie Glory came on, you know, Matthew Broderick and Denzel Washington. And I sat down and watched that for the first time in a while. And that movie was real good. It's weird because that was Matthew Broderick's first, you know, I'm a serious actor role, I believe, going through that. But seeing just, you know, the performances, that Morgan Freeman still looked 75 years old in that movie, despite the fact that it was the late 80s. So, yeah, I watched probably movies on two completely different ends of the scale in terms of seriousness. But, yeah, and that was outside of my normal things I watch on YouTube and stuff like that. But I thought I'd jump in because I actually watched movies this or within the last 2 weeks.
I didn't get to watch anything, so I'm the mark this week. We traded places.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really watch much either, unless you count hospital television. For that don't know, it was probably quite a bit. I had my gallbladder taken out. It was 5 days in the hospital, so that's why I wasn't here for Justice League. And yeah, so I got a lot of watching of Friends. Luckily, there was an Office marathon on Comedy Central this past weekend, so I watched that. And then Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Triple D, baby.
The extent of my watching this week. But I am the one that chose this week's movie. So I put these guys through hell. And that's the reason why Dan sounds like he doesn't want to be here this week.
To be fair, you also chose last week's movie.
Well, I was dying, Dan. give me one.
You did have a very funny message to us because we were kind of in limbo with what we were going to do with what we were going to watch because Anthony had picked this movie prior to his surgery. And I asked in the group chat, are we still watching the movie that we're covering this week? And he said, yeah, I didn't almost die just to not watch this movie.
Yes, but I'm here now. Sans one gallbladder, so we're gonna move on. But this week I scoured the bowels, which is fitting, I guess, bowels of Amazon Prime Video this week, and I came across one of the true gems. We'll call it. It is something else. It might possibly be the worst movie we've done. Might possibly be the worst movie we'll ever do. I don't know if we're ever going to come across something quite like this. This honestly puts the room to shame. It puts, we haven't covered a Neil Breen movie here yet. We've covered a trailer of his movies, but man, it's going to be tough to beat. The only other thing that I've ever seen cover this is YouTube Ralph the Movie Maker covered this. I haven't seen anybody else cover it. So we're getting in before.
Didn't he get banned for telling people to go rate this?
Yes. Yeah. So, without any further ado, the movie is Love on a Leash from 2011, and this movie currently holds a 9.2 on IMDb, and that is out of 10, because Ralph the Movie Maker told his legion of fans to go onto IMDb and rate this movie nothing but 10s, and I think he either got banned, he might have gotten banned off of IMDb, or he got demonetized on YouTube sometime. He got punished for it, but here it stands with 6,323 votes. Love on a Leash. This is directed by Fen Tian, the Chinese-born filmmaker. It has a 9.2 on IMDb and a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. It stars Hannah Camp, Anise Camo, Michelina Lee, and Gloria Winship Ion. So those names were all pretty difficult to pronounce. But gentlemen, I don't even know how to ask this question, but Love
you
on a Leash.
Just skip where we
Love
coming
on a
from
Leash,
this.
Guys. Where are you coming on, from? Man.
Pure disgust. That's where I'm coming from, a place of pure disgust and misery. As Mark alluded to, you know, obviously with everything going on in the world, you subjected us to this movie, and it's just like, how could you feel worse? Well, I'll tell you how you can feel
kicking
worse.
Kicking you on your down?
Yeah, I'm going to make you watch an hour and a half of Love on a Leash. This was the true movie where, and Mark will do this, this is the true movie where you're sitting there and you feel like you've been there for a day.
Yes.
And it's only been 20 minutes.
Yeah, I paused at the exact moment you mentioned in the group chat when you were like, this is only 22 minutes in? I was like, I looked at the time at the same exact moment.
I would rather get my gallbladder removed.
Well, some of us did both.
And had the better day.
Guys, it's what's the weirdest part of this movie?
the one comment I want to make that have nothing to do with the movie. Watching this movie, I think we could make a better movie and put it on Amazon. I think the 6 minutes of anything we've done, including the big game or any of those, you know, little skits, are better than any 6 minute segment of this movie.
Make no mistake, gentlemen, this is not a movie. This is a series of events that was put on film.
Sure. Right?
There is no pacing. It's just this happens, and then another scene happens, and then a following scene happens, and it's all just kind of mixed together with no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. So to call it a movie is very generous.
Do you think the people that wrote Rubber saw this movie beforehand?
Yeah, Rubber was better. At least they had, you know, some production value.
This movie was difficult to write notes for because there were no like transition scenes. It was everything. Nope. It just went bam, right next scene. It's like that dog's running down the street. All of a sudden he's home.
Right.
But what is, like, honestly, this is an honest question. What's the weirdest aspect of this movie? Is it the fact there's no music to it? Is it the fact that the voiceover for the dog sounds like it's somebody that came in after the fact and did a riff tracks? Is it the fact that everything is green in this movie?
Yeah. The problem with the dog is you're right. It's someone who probably did the voiceover work before the movie was even done, because it doesn't match the tone and cadence of what's happening in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like a serious moment will happen, and then the dog will start singing and being happy. It doesn't call for any of that.
Yeah.
So I think they did everything ass backwards in this movie.
Yeah. If you take out the voiceover and the dog, this movie is dark as fuck.
It's very dark.
There's a suicide attempt. There's a rape attempt. You know, there's an overbearing mother. There's a guy that's afraid to come out to his family. There's a
father who left his daughter when she was born or whatever.
There's, spoiler alert, there's a woman that lives in her apartment for 30 years waiting for someone to come find her. And she never changes the furniture in the apartment.
I don't think she ever changes her wardrobe either.
She ages 30 years, and she doesn't see her friend for about that same time until she has grandkids.
That part confused me. Because I didn't. When they tell you that time has passed, it just says some years later.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been 2 years. It could have been 50 years.
Nope. it's decades. Decades later.
I think the weirdest, the only part that sticks out to my memory is the main character is searching. It goes out to look for her dog in the rain. She has an umbrella, goes to open it, and then throws the umbrella away. That's a scene in the movie.
Yeah. It's also weird that the dog's name's Alvin Flang.
What?
The dog's name is Alvin Flang.
Oh, it's not Prince.
Well, no, his real name.
She names
him Prince, but he says his name's Alvin Flang. So all my notes just say Alvin Flang does this.
At one point, after they've been married and, you know, they're in love or whatever, he calls her Pizza Face Cinder Block. Do you remember that?
It's after he saves her from the pool. He calls her Pizza Face Cinder Block. It's fantastic. Yeah. He's an asshole. The dog is a giant asshole in this whole movie.
It's so strange.
Yeah, the lack of the backing track is what makes the voiceover worse. I think, you know, the no music is amazing, and I think it's in the trivia and all that or whatever, or something, that there's actually a person credited as a composer.
Yeah.
To a movie with no music.
So I tried to do some digging. I really can't find the reason, but there's got to be a reason. Because it's not just that there's no backing track. There's no sound design in these scenes.
Yeah.
Scenes are shot and you see them without any sort of, it's like not even white noise. It's just absence of sound.
Oh,
thinking is that either they didn't pay the composer and he was like, all right, well then you can't use my music. So rather than replace, they didn't have time to replace it, so they just pulled it. Or he got one look at the movie and he's like, yeah, you're not using my music for this movie. This is too terrible. Because he's an accomplished composer, actually. I looked him up. He was like, he had one Disney credit. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he's been around for a while.
It's great because you'll notice parts in the movie where people are clearly talking, but there's no voice coming out. And there's parts where the dog is supposed to be attacking someone and the camera just shakes around to make it look like the dog's attacking. But it's clear that the dog is just kind of standing there or just playing.
Yep.
There's no direction in this movie. I mean, this is beyond frustrating. If you're an actual filmmaker or if you're just an aspiring filmmaker, this is like insulting to your profession. It's an assault.
And it's on Amazon.
It's an assault on all your senses.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. The experience was so much better than I was expecting. Just for the third act, because the third act is so bonkers. From the moment the dog gets hit by a car to the end, it's just so... I was flabbergasted at every moment after that.
It's just some stuff put to film. That's really what this is. It's someone's fever dream, I think. This movie is my wife and I exchanging nervous glances at each other while we watched it.
Did it make you almost hate dogs by the first 5 minutes of this movie?
Well, it made me hate this dog. Not dogs in general. I mean, there is one line in this movie that made me chuckle a little bit, and it's when the main character is in his dog form and he's chasing after the talent agent. He stops, sits down, and says, "Ah, my ass."
Yeah, it's his voiceover. To the point where it feels like somebody came in and tried to fix this and like wrote dialogue after it. It's like, all right, well, we've got nothing to string these scenes together. Do you think you could write some lines? And then like someone that had a completely different vision of what this movie was supposed to be was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. Why not? This dog seems fun.
Right. Probably his what he thinks would be going through a golden retriever's mind.
Yeah. It's like, but that's the thing. It's so weird because Alvin Flang is a human being that's been cursed. He's not a dog, but he acts like he's like a 9-year-old, like when he's in dog form.
The main problem is this is supposed to be like Beauty and the Beast, I guess, where he's cursed.
Or like Princess and the Frog, something like that,
Right. But we never see why he was cursed. He just explains it very briefly.
Because he was a playboy, yeah, that's all.
So why couldn't you show us that?
Yeah.
It's an hour and a half. You're going to tell me you couldn't fit that in somewhere?
If you told me that there was a bunch of different other scenes that we could have seen besides the ones that we do see, I would assume that they're all better than what we do wind up seeing.
Are you telling me there's a Fen Tian cut?
Oh, I hope so. I don't know if they ever shot it, but yeah, I feel like...
In his mind.
Yeah, it's sort of like jazz. You have to think of the notes he's not playing.
Yeah,
you got to think of the scenes shot. That weren't shot. But that's a better movie. It's free-form filmmaking. It's like I'm so glad we got to do this movie because it's going to be so hard to top in terms of is this the worst movie ever made.
Right, and throughout my viewing of this, I kept thinking of The Room where people always say, you know, it's considered the worst film ever made. I'm like, well, this is the worst film ever made. Easily. And when did The Room come out?
Like 2003.
Yeah. So maybe at the time it was the worst movie ever made, but then...
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And Love on a Leash came along and said, hold my beer. I'm going to show you how to make a bad movie.
Yeah, this one's for the ages. You guys want to get into the plot? Or what we're going to call a plot?
I was going to say, is there anything to really discuss plot-wise in this movie?
Oh, a lot happens.
Yeah, but it's not a plot.
In a certain order.
Sure. Mark, right. Are you okay? Or are we doing this?
We still have good. Time. Let's do it.
I was hoping you'd back out.
Before we do it, Dan, do you have anything to plug?
Sure. As we've been doing on this podcast, we've been giving a shout-out to a good friend of ours, Tia, who is with Geek Vibes Nation. And her podcast, The Top 10 with Tia, it's a weekly podcast where Tia and her friends tackle the top 10 lists of movies, such as top 10 villains and top 10 on-screen couples. So make sure to tune into that. Tia, like I said, is a very good friend of the podcast, and she's a good person all around. So support good people.
All right. Yes. And we're going to take a few minutes to listen to some messages from friends of the podcast. So we will be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Steve.
And this is Adam.
And we're part of the Hop Nation USA podcast.
Pittsburgh's number 3 craft beer podcast.
Join us every Friday for new beer reviews.
We'll talk about the news, history, and homebrewing.
Plus, we'll sit down with the best brewers and industry personalities that'll have us.
So whether you're a casual drinker, a hazy boy hophead,
or even if you're a whale-hunting cellar hoarder,
just search Hop Nation USA on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher and join the nation.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. It's me, George, from the Best Little Horror House in Philly, the show where we talk about the best horror movie ever made, according to our guest at least. We've talked about groundbreaking classics like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Alien, but we've also got a lot of great ones coming up, including some very fun guests like Len Kabaczynski of Swamp Zombies and Red Letter Media fame, Caroline Williams, the star of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, and Chase Williamson from John Dies at the End. So make sure you're subscribed to the Best Little Horror House in Philly, and I'll see you boils and ghouls over there.
And welcome back, and now it's time to get into the plot of 2011's Love on a Leash. We open up on some stock footage of Los Angeles with no sound design backing it. As we mentioned, it's literally dead silent, despite seeing birds flying, traffic going by, water running. And then after about a minute and 15 seconds of complete silence, not even light noise, we finally hear our hero dog speak, lamenting, "Where is everybody? Especially the ladies." And he gets pet by a man, where he says, "Lay off, man. I'm not gay."
I was out on the dog at that point.
The VO, as we mentioned, feels more like a riff tracks commentary than an actual VO that's meant to be a part of this movie. And the editing of this film is all over the place, kind of like a Bourne movie.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. So then the dog winds up at a park, and he tries to hit on a girl at the park playing frisbee, but he's a dog, so it doesn't really work. Eventually, a magical spirit appears to the dog and tells him that he needs to find true love in order to be brought back as a human. So then the dog goes off to find some girls. And then the man inside the dog acts like he has a child's brain, but we later find out that he's a fully functioning adult human male. Then he winds up running into the middle of a girl's soccer game, and he says, "Ooh, there's lots of girls here, and a bunch of preteen girls playing soccer." So that's creepy. And then the dog winds up at a park and starts playing around with some girls that are of consenting age. But then meanwhile, we find our romantic lead, Lisa, and her friend are sunbathing on a blanket. Lisa's friend wants to talk to some guys who are just off screen so you can't see them, while Milquetoast Lisa replaces a personality with chastity. Lisa's hot friend goes off to talk to some guys, so Lisa then decides to put in the hands of God and prays in the middle of the day, in the middle of the park, out loud for the entire park to hear, "Dear God, please help me find a real man."
That's depressing. Anytime you have to do, like, resort to a higher power to find a mate, you're in trouble.
This is the first sign of how dark this movie is.
Yep. And then I believe the dog at this moment says, "You don't need God, I'm here." Something like that.
Yeah. His one-liners make Arnold Schwarzenegger seem like Shakespeare.
Yeah, he's got, I think Bruce Valanche came in here and did some punch-ups on the script.
Bruce Valanche.
So she asks for a real man, and then it manically cuts away to her driving away in her green bug, because everything is fucking green in this movie. I can't stress that enough. If you want to watch this movie, it's on Amazon Prime. Just notice the green, because it's everywhere.
Is it Wes Anderson or Paul?
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, the one that always is, his movies are all color-coded.
Yeah, they're like all khaki and red and yellows.
Yeah. It was like somebody saw one of those movies and was like, oh, that's what you have to do. You have to have like some kind of color scheme for your character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just instead of doing it for each character and making each scene unique, just went with
green. Just green. It's all they had in the budget.
Her character, her characteristics are she likes green and is just constantly being assaulted for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She likes green and she cries a lot. She spends the last half of this movie crying in every scene.
She wanted it for the real.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know, man. I don't understand. I don't understand why they chose that to be her like main character trait. Like, yeah, everything has to be green. Wouldn't it be better if that made like if she was like OCD about it and they explained it that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But she's not interesting enough to be have OCD.
Yeah, essentially, I think maybe it's an inside joke we don't get, or...
Great. This is why I always say no inside jokes on this podcast, Mark.
Exactly. Yep. And I learned my lesson. He taught me my lesson.
I love Mark is like the eternal optimist of our podcast, where he's always giving the movie a way out.
Yeah.
Every movie... It's a good thing, Mark. I'm not making fun of you for it. It's just... I'm the... The exact opposite, where if it's shit, I don't give it a chance anymore. And, you know, going back to the Justice League, like, you know, if they did this and they did that, I could see where this would be good. And I'm just like, fuck the Justice League. And Mark,
I'm not going to argue for the director's cut of this movie like I unknowingly did for Justice League.
What if it's a 2.5-hour movie that explains everything, even the color green scheme in this?
Oh, man. No, my final point was going to be, I think her character is nothing more than it needs to be the opposite of Alvin's character. Like, what's the polar opposite of a playboy that's just always looking for girls? Oh, it's a God-loving chastity virgin.
With an opioid addiction.
There
are some scenes where she looks rough. Like, she's been sweating out a heroin withdrawal for, like, 3 hours on set.
Yeah.
Is she... The makeup department doesn't do a good job. Yeah, in hiding some of that stuff.
There's like, they never explore any of it. There's so many subplots that, you know, the writer probably wanted to get into, but didn't have the talent or lack of guts to dive deep into them.
I think the problem is that the movie is all subplots. There's no story that's just all subplot. There's a premise and subplots.
To be fair, if I had her mother, I'd probably want to off myself as well.
Oh, boy.
I mean, the worst thing that happens to this girl in this movie is she's unsuccessful in killing herself. Because her life goes to shit immediately after she tries to commit suicide. She's nothing but miserable for the rest of the movie.
And also, you know, she was up for a promotion at one point, but we never see her make any sales.
Nope. Right? We see her neg on a sale.
Yes. Yeah, she I think it was the talent agent who's trying to buy a dress, right?
They never make that connection, but I think so.
She looked like her. I mean, there's only 7 people on the cast, so
yeah.
I'm sure some people pulled double duty.
Yeah.
But yeah, she tells a woman that she's fat, essentially.
She's too big for the dress, and then she refuses to sell her the dress.
Which isn't your decision, right? I don't think
I
don't think a department store could refuse to sell you something. Unless you're, you know, you're being unruly.
Right. But it's on your job description to be like, you know what? I really can't in my good conscience let you leave with this dress.
Right. Yeah. It'd be like if I wanted to buy, you know, a muumuu. You know, you can't stop me from buying a muumuu just because I'm not a big guy.
Yeah.
So there you go. It makes no sense.
Yeah. It was essentially they were trying to find an easy way to drive home the point even more that she's, you know, like
morally too perfect.
Good. Yeah, too good for the dog, you know.
Yeah. So she drives away. I'm just going to go so we can kind of end this.
I'm going to go out of her misery.
So she drives away. The dog catches up to Lisa at a gas station, and she just decides to put him in the car and take him home. They go to her apartment, which is entirely green. Dog jumps into the tub, and we have a haphazardly paced cleaning montage, and then the dog leaves. Then Lisa goes to work and helps a woman squeeze into her dress that's too small, as we mentioned, and gets farted on for her trouble. And then Lisa decides that it's her prerogative to tell the woman that she can't sell her the dress because it's too tight, so I'm hoping she doesn't get paid based on commission. And then a coworker named Kyle then asks her out. She goes back home, and the dog is waiting outside her apartment again with a cut on his leg. Which he says he cut himself shaving. Har, 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 Bruce Valanche. So she brings him in to fix him up, and then he mentions he has a home in Switzerland. And then he asks what we've all been asking is, why is everything green?
Yeah.
Question for you guys.
Yeah.
Say you're dating a girl. You haven't gone to her apartment yet. You're having a nice time. You're connecting. She's pretty. She's everything you want. And you feel like, oh, you know, this is good. This is going in a good direction. And finally, she brings you home and you see the color scheme of everything. What do you do?
Are all signs pointing to I'm getting it in that night?
Yes.
All right. I ask her in the morning, what's up with the green?
I would probably ruin my chances there and then. What's up? I would probably ask, what's up with the green? And I would offend her. Right there and then. I wouldn't be able to do anything until I knew the exact reason why everything was green.
Walking around Hoyle Palmer, well, why is this green? This doesn't need to be green. Why is it green?
Right. It'd just be like, you know, like we're getting into it. And like, why is everything green? Like, just shut up. I can't. I need to know this. It's an episode of Seinfeld, essentially.
Where
everything is green.
So she gets ready for her date, and the dog spends some time negging her the entire time. And then her mom calls, and she's overexcited that this girl, this lonely, lonely girl, has a date. There's a quick montage of a date with, once again, no sound design whatsoever. And then her friends, I forget her name. They don't mention it until, like, almost the end of the movie.
Paula.
Like Paula, yeah. She doesn't get named until, like, the second act. And then Paula calls her, asking her for some deets. And then
she says the line something like, he's more like a brother or a really good friend or something like that.
Yeah, her friend calls to get some details on the date, then assumes the guy, who from what I could gather is maybe a sales associate at a thrift store, is rich.
I got confused at the end because it seemed by the dialogue that he owned the stores or was like a high manager.
I don't know how this thrift store runs itself.
No, I have no idea. But yet there was another manager.
And then there's a boss.
And then the boss is going to promote everybody to manager so he can retire.
It's just a store of managers.
Yeah, exactly. To manage nobody. Right. A bunch of managers just managing nobody.
That's a good point, right? Because they only ever really show her working.
Yep.
Who manages the managers, though?
I don't know. So then Lisa decides to name the dog. She decides to name him Prince. But he says his name is Alvin Flang, which might be the weirdest part of this whole movie.
That name sounds like it deserves to be in Tromaville.
Exactly. Such an awful name for our hero. That's a
terrible name.
Alvin Flang. Just rolls right off the tongue.
That's the name of a person that you throw into a locker.
Yeah. So then she decides to take the dog shopping, which in this world of this movie is a group of people scrounging around in a pile of clothes. And she just lets the dog scrounge around too, and he gets kicked by an associate because he's a dog sifting through merchandise. Perfectly understandable. And then a dog talent agent pops up out of nowhere and says the dog's amazing and he wants to sign him, but she runs away.
It makes no sense. Oh my God. The dog is literally.
Yeah, the dog could pick out matching clothes. Right. That was his talent.
And who knows if it was a coincidence that he just picked out a green dress or whatever.
This guy's putting a lot of eggs in the basket of this dog he just met.
I was gonna say he's probably a failed talent agent.
He is a dog talent agent.
Going forward a little bit, the name of the business is Dog Talent Agent. that's really bad. That's really creative, guys.
It's like, that cat's amazing, but what are we going to do? We're dog talent agents.
Right. It's like going to a pizza, it's just like naming your place Pizza Parlor. Like, what's the name? Pizza Parlor.
So she goes back to work, and she immediately gets assaulted by another associate at work and then sexually harassed by a customer. He asks her to pick something out for his wife, and she picks something green because of course. And the manager tells her that she needs to dress nice for the customers, and he gives her a green dress to wear, of course. She then goes home and tries on her new green dress. Rita, an older friend with a vaguely ethnic accent, comes in and tells her that she was the one who sent over the customer, and she's trying to set Lisa up with him for her mom's sake. And then she leaves. And then her friend tells, so Paula then tells Lisa that she should bang both guys and find out which one she likes more. Perfectly reasonable idea by Paula. Paula is the one that makes the most sense in this movie.
At one point, doesn't she say she should be dating like 5 or 6 guys?
That's her mother tells her that she should be dating 4 or 5 guys. Yeah.
There's a great shot in this movie of the mother surrounded by darkness.
that's the scene, yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's when she mentioned you should be dating 4 or 5 guys.
She looks like Dr. Claw. That's like something Dr. Claw or Skeletor would do or something like that.
Yeah.
They wanted to make sure that you couldn't tell that she was also in a green room and they just had one suit.
Oh, yeah. Guarantee that it's the same apartment. my favorite part is when the mother is on her deathbed just asking her daughter to promise her that she's going to get married to a man, and she just tells her no.
No.
And then she closes her eyes and her head tilts, right? And no one seems very sad.
Well, I mean, she's awful.
She is the worst. Oh my goodness.
She was bringing all sorts of men around when Lisa was younger. Just all of them treated her like shit. Mm-mm.
And you wonder why she has men issues.
Yeah. So then her friend tells her, Alvin Flang is worried that if she gets married, he'll be stuck as a dog. Then her mom calls in the middle of the night and tells her she should be dating 4 or 5 guys. And then Lisa has a date with Frank, the other guy at the store. Frank is the guy that Rita set her up with and his mom.
Yeah, the customer.
His mom accompanies her, she basically has a date at this guy's mom's house. And the mom is like some sort of nutritionist and asks Lisa how much she weighs. But then after dinner, Frank's mother orders him to leave so she could speak to Lisa alone. And then the mother says, they will not allow Lisa to get pregnant, and she must get her tubes tied if she's going to wind up marrying Frank.
Everything about this character is ridiculous. I love the one line where, you know, she has so much she weighs and she goes, you don't weigh yourself twice daily? How do you know how much food to eat?
Yep.
Like that. Her line's psychotic.
Yeah, this is just a collection of terrible people.
Yeah. At least she gets put through the ringer in this movie.
She does, man.
Again,
I feel bad for her.
Paul is the only good person in this whole movie.
Yeah, Paul has got her head on straight. She just basically just wants her friend to have fun and fuck. She's tired of her friend just lording over her virginity over her head. Paul's just trying to get it in, trying to have a good time. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. That's Paul's motto.
And she winds up probably having the most fun out of anybody in this movie.
Yeah. She's seemingly successful. She has a whole bunch of grandkids. And Lisa's just stuck in that same goddamn apartment for 30 plus years.
She's probably one of the best looking grandmas I've ever seen.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
She's looking fine.
Yeah.
Real nice. Keeping it tight in her grand age.
We should have been following the story of Paula.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch that movie.
Mm-hmm. So then she goes back home and talks to the dog, and the one line he says that made me chuckle because it's just so stupid, and she just kind of says, you know, I'll just stay here with you because I love you, and then he just says, I broke your favorite glasses.
Wait, just as like a passing thing?
Yeah.
very nonchalantly. That's pretty awesome.
So Kyle calls her and says he has something important to talk to her about. That's the guy from the thrift store. And then Paula shows up, and Alvin Flang bites her, or he bites her on the hand, and Lisa kicks her out, him out. And Paula gets Lisa ready for the date or whatever. So Kyle shows up, and Lisa brags about her shitty art, which is the only thing in the apartment that isn't green. And Kyle immediately proposes and then says it'll be in name only because he's gay and he wouldn't be accepted by his family. But he says he'll be able to provide for her and give her everything she ever wants. And she rejects his proposal, saying she needs true love. Mark.
One of the first, like, whiplash moments of this movie.
I was going to say this is dark moment number one.
Yeah.
Moment number one is immediately preceded by dark moment number two. Because as soon as Kyle leaves, Lisa cries, and then Mort barges into her apartment drunk and attempts to rape her.
What's his name? Alvin?
Alvin Flang.
He comes in to rescue her, mm-hmm. and then she turns on Alvin.
Yep.
Right? She's like, "Get out of here! I don't want you around me." What? Who does that to a dog, first of all?
Yeah.
Especially one that just saved your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it was an instinct that that dog was no good.
Mm-hmm. Is that what she
just
says?
Just another man.
No. I'm just saying that. It's an instinct that dog's an asshole. He needs to leave now.
Yeah. Probably would have been best.
That's the worst 10 minutes of anyone's life, I think. Right? Being proposed to and then being assaulted.
Yeah. Proposed to because he just needs a beard.
Right.
She put all her eggs in that Kyle basket, and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm gay, but we can still get married, but I have no intention of loving you like you're expecting me to."
He's very nice about it, though.
Oh, yeah, he's super nice. I mean, Kyle is a very nice guy. It's a shame he's gay because Lisa was hoping that he wasn't.
So now, are we to believe that she actually was into him?
I guess so. It seems like the only person that's shown her any niceness in her entire life.
I thought he was the one she called like a brother.
I mean, she might have done that over the phone, but she was totally heartbroken and, you know, really upset that he wound up being gay.
That's true.
That's a rough turn of events, man.
Yeah. So Alvin Flang shows up and attacks Mort to stop him from raping Lisa. And then Mort fires her as he leaves. Although it doesn't seem like that actually sticks, because she is seen working in later scenes. And she even goes to her boss's house. Then Lisa cries again about Kyle being gay some more and the fact that she almost got raped. And then she takes a bunch of sleeping pills and overdoses. This is what this movie needed, was a drug overdose scene. So then Alvin Flang goes to get some help by lying down in the street and gets a driver to come back to the apartment. And then days go by, and I guess no one went to see Lisa in the hospital because she walks herself home from the hospital all by herself. And she can't find Prince or Alvin Flang anywhere, so she goes out looking for him and finds him in the pouring rain.
And we were glossing over the fact that in like every so often, Alvin Flang will visit a rock on a lake and be talked to by a spirit of some kind.
Yeah, it's a water spirit. I don't think he's done it in a while.
And it's a water spirit with an Instagram filter on it, I would say. Right? It's got like the little flowers above it.
Yep.
Like,
well, that's to distinguish that it's a fairy.
Is that what it's to do?
I'm just making.
Maybe that's
you gotta take everything Mark says with a grain of salt at this point.
But I mean, that makes more sense than what I was thinking. I thought it was just they were trying to be, you know, flashy.
They pull out all the stops with the preloaded After Effects effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just to separate that part of the lake from the other parts of the lake, or wherever he was.
Do you think the fairy talks to anybody else?
You think she's got a couple of games going right now? There's exactly. Other dogs that are...
Any other animal. Like
maybe those
duck.
Ducks we see like 1,000 times in this movie.
Right. Yeah, maybe they're like little kids that were transformed for being bad kids.
For being insolent children.
Right.
The spirit just got dark.
They never ate their vegetables and they were turned into ducks.
That's what happens when you don't brush your teeth, children.
It's just a malevolent spirit.
Now you have no teeth.
Right. I would watch that movie.
It sounds like a German folk tale.
I think that's probably where I'm getting it from, right? It's like Krampus, but with a water fairy, I guess. It sounds like something M. Night Shyamalan would really do.
So she eventually finds him. And the lesson here is that she learned from all this is that she doesn't want men. She wants only Prince. And then Dog becomes a naked man that was cursed in his past life because he was a cheating playboy. And then Alvin Flang wants to marry her and she agrees to it immediately.
That transformation scene, when she goes from holding the dog then holding his leg,
mm-hmm.
is like, and then she believes every word he says after that, which is amazing.
I mean,
oh, you're the dog.
I mean, if a dog transformed into a naked man in front of you, there's only so many explanations, right?
She handles it well.
Yeah, she probably got a view of something she liked, so she was like, yeah, sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's just fully erect right in front of her.
You think so?
Well, no, not really, but he's probably packing.
I mean, right? they constantly have awkward sex scene after awkward sex scene, so mm-hmm. it's possible. Yeah.
And one right after that, because they go back to her apartment and they fuck immediately, even though she knows he's been a dog for a while. In the morning, he's back to being a dog. Yeah, right? And the dog goes back to Lake Spirit and tells... And the Lake Spirit tells Alvin Flang that he'll only be human at night until he proves that it is true love, which is, I really couldn't get a grasp of the rules the water spirit was trying to teach Alvin Flang, because it seemed to change every time he went back. So he goes back to Lisa and tells her how much he loves her and that he loves her more than anyone else in this whole world. You know, he lies to her. The next morning, she goes to work and Alvin Flang just explores the city, I guess. They go home to her green-ass apartment to wait for night to come, and then he turns into human Alvin Flang again. She fixes him breakfast in the morning as if he were human, and then we get a love montage, no music. Alvin Flang then cooks dinner. Oh, what were you going to say, Mark?
I was going to say, and it goes back to the voiceover thing, because when he goes and eats the dog food, she goes, oh, you're eating the dog food, and he goes something like, because I'm a dog.
He calls her an idiot.
Yeah, idiot, because I'm a dog.
I'm a dog, idiot.
Alvin Flang hates Lisa. That's all there is to it.
Right. So essentially, he's operating on werewolf logic here, where during the day, he's a dog. It's reverse werewolf logic, I guess. Yeah. During the day, he's a dog. And at night, he becomes a man.
Yep.
But this logic is very flawed throughout this, mm-hmm. because there are clearly times in the day where he's a man. Right?
Well, it also matters if it's not sunny out.
Yeah, the spirit allows that because they couldn't do all night shoots.
Right. The spirit, yeah. That's pretty good.
So then she fixes him breakfast in the morning. Alvin Flang cooks dinner, and then Lisa buys him a collar and then is turned on by it. So they take some really upsetting kinky photos. Then they go to the park with Alvin Flang as a dog, and he talks to the water spirit again, and the water spirit moves goalposts once again and says that he needs to provide and prove that he can be a good husband.
And then for some reason he turns into a complete dick.
Yeah. They have a fight with the dog.
At this point, you have to feel as if, like, if you're Alvin Flang, you know you're being screwed around with.
Right. You're just getting jerked around.
Yeah. This water spirit has no intention of setting you back into normal human being.
No. At night, Alvin Flang says that he's upset that he cannot provide for her. Says he wants to do the commercials with the agent. And Lisa's upset at this idea for some reason.
Right.
They
never give you the reason why. She's like, no, I forbid it. Okay, yep. Why?
I don't know. Seemed like a good idea. Seemed like it was perfect for everybody.
I mean, and this is where the movie should have gone, right? Where he becomes a big star and the fame maybe goes to his head because he's a playboy and he starts hitting on other women.
Sounds like that movie is a little more fun than this movie allows us to have.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Can't have that.
So then the dog, we see a scene with the dog agent has a meeting with his boss. And that she needs to find a special dog, and he mentions Alvin Flang, and she tells him to find him, but he has no idea where to find him. But then at dinner, Alvin Flang uses the phone in the restaurant to call the agent, tell him the dog will be there. And then he takes a bath and then goes to the agency. They make him pick up phones, and then I guess they shoot a commercial. We don't get to see that, God forbid.
Terrible commercial, though.
Oh, I beg to differ.
It's a work of art. I thought the commercial was the... Well, do you want to explain the commercial first?
So I'm coming to that. Okay. Immediately spends the money on another green dress for Lisa, because that's exactly what she needs, is more green dresses. She gets upset.
Feeding the addiction.
She gets upset because he won't tell her where his money comes from. But then she sees the commercial that he stars in, which, in my notes, I say, which quite frankly is a work of art. It is for ninja dog food or something like that. And it is him fighting ninjas that cut up some dog food. And it even comes with a cheap knockoff of David Bowie's China Girl as the song.
I thought the ninja was chopping up the dog into food.
Is that
because I looked away real connection. Quick and came back. I was like, wait a minute. Because it cuts from a scene of him wrestling with the dog to him furiously chopping up food. So I was like, wait a minute. Is he chopping the dog up?
It'd be weird because it is dog food.
Yes, but yeah. I wouldn't put it past this movie to do something crazy like that.
You just made this movie darker somehow.
Yeah, right.
I can make things darker. I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, that's true.
So then they're about to fuck again, and then Paula shows up, and so for some reason Lisa feels like she needs to hide him from her, so she tells him to go hide, and Paula shows up because her car broke down and she needs to crash at Lisa's apartment. Eventually Paula finds Alvin Flang, and she freaks out because she thought Lisa was a virgin and Lisa made her feel like a whore all this time, and she calls her a hypocrite, which all in honestly you would think that she'd be happy, like, oh yeah, Lisa getting some, it's about time, girl. And she'd just be like, oh, yeah, girl, I just took your advice. You know how it is.
But she breaks down like she's, you know, she killed her mother or something like that, you know? I didn't mean to do it. I'm so sorry. Forgive me.
Yeah.
Jeez, you're seeing a guy. You know?
Yeah.
You didn't break any rules here.
No. It's a weird moment. It is a forced argument between the two. So Rita shows up and apologizes for Frank and says she's got another guy for Lisa. And then she randomly shows up at Lisa's work later for no reason. And Lisa tells her that she's got to close up. So Rita leaves and then jumps out at Lisa in the parking lot. And tells her she immediately has to come with her. So Lisa thinks nothing of this and says, sure. And she gets in Rita's car. She takes her to a restaurant and her mother shows up. So now her mother's there and Rita's there and they go into the restaurant. And immediately Lisa gets accosted by several male patrons at the restaurant. And it turns out Rita paid the men to dance with her.
Oh, boy.
And
who amongst Lisa, us, right, guys?
Yeah. Lisa runs away and cries. Her mom apologizes for her shitty history of men. And then she tells her mom and Rita that she's already met a man. And her mom and Rita are very excited and they want to meet him. So they have dinner the next night. And Alvin Flang shows up at a restaurant with them. And they have an extraordinarily awkward meal where Rita and Lisa's mom then force them to get a marriage license the next morning. Obviously, because he will be a dog in the morning, he can't show up. So he doesn't show up at the courthouse because it's dog.
He has a funny line here where, you know, the mother and Rita are saying, like, oh, you know, forget him. He's the worst. And all he says is, I did my best. What?
Yeah.
What? How did you do your best?
Yeah, it's funny. This entire little segment with the mother, I'm actually shocked they didn't go there because they already... you know, did earlier in the movie, that they didn't have the mother or Rita just assume that maybe Lisa was gay, you know, and going, because of what your father did, I thought you just hated all men and was a lesbian.
Yeah, that could have been a definite route they took.
Yeah.
But they did.
But it just looks like they were like, no, we're stuck on this she believes in true love storyline.
Mm. So he obviously doesn't show up as a human at the courthouse because he's a dog. So her mom and Rita immediately turn on Alvin Flang, saying that you could do better. And then the Alvin Flang dog gets depressed and runs off. She has to pick him up in the middle of the night when he's human again, butt-ass naked in the park. Lisa cries again and says her mom wants for her to have a man morning and night. And Alvin Flang says that he should just go back to being a dog. She tells him no, she doesn't want him to do that. So then Rita shows up at the apartment and says she can't take her daughter to the airport because of a dizzy spell. This is like one of the most convoluted parts of the movie.
Yeah.
And she tells Lisa that she has to drive her daughter to the airport, leaving her and Alvin Flang behind. Then Rita starts snooping and starts to interrogate Alvin about his job, business card, driver's license, then tells him to leave Lisa alone. So he runs away. And then Rita chases after him, and apparently they chase after each other all night long, because then he has to hide into the bathroom to turn back into a dog, because it becomes morning at some point.
Yeah, and they had that quick scene where he goes into the bathroom and you see a tail sticking out of his pants.
It's all very stupid. They could
the editing in this scene is atrocious. Oh my God. There's the part where he goes to the Mexican restaurant and they do a fast forward for some reason.
It's supposed to be some sort of montage, but it's got no music again.
It looks like someone accidentally hit fast forward on the the projector. Right? Like, oh, oops, sorry, forgot about that. Just keep it.
Yeah. So Rita tells Lisa that she saw Alvin change into a dog, but she didn't. She just saw the dog come out of the bathroom. And then she threatens that she and her mom are going to stay out of her life completely, and Lisa cries again.
Which is probably for the best, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Lisa has a bunch of toxic relationships she needs to abandon, and Rita and her mom are two of them.
Her only good relationship she loses because she didn't want to let Paula know that she had a guy in the house.
Yeah, which is so silly.
Right. And it kind of shame on Paula for coming down so hard on Lisa there.
Yeah.
She was so chill throughout the movie, and then all of a sudden she just kind of... That was the perfect opportunity for, like, a three-way, by the way. Like, just a surprise dude shows up half naked. Like, come on. If real life has taught me anything, that's the next logical step.
Yeah, absolutely. We've all been there.
Yep.
And we've all written letters into magazines about it.
Yeah, I'm sure some of us have.
Dear TV Guide.
Yeah, that's the exact magazine I was thinking of.
There you go. So Lisa and Alvin go to the park and he sings a stupid song. And Lisa goes to a children's playground by herself and takes pictures of strangers. And then at night, Lisa wants to fuck Alvin flying in the car because the Chinese woman she talked to at the park said that exciting sex leads to good children. So she's really, really humping Alvin to get some kids out of him. But Alvin doesn't want kids because he's afraid the kids will end up like him. So she cries again. And then when, I was having my notes, if I see one more goddamn shot of those ducks in this pond, I swear to God. Then Alvin finds tickets to a store that has rare Chinese stones that he wants to go to Lisa with.
It might be a museum. I'm not sure.
Supposedly it's a museum, but it totally looks like a flea market.
Why do you need tickets to go to a store?
I think it's, like I said, it's probably supposed to be a museum, but it's totally a flea market.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
It doesn't really matter because the scene is all of 10 seconds. They go, but he's a dog, so he can't go in. So she goes in and she gets upset because she sees all the other couples around her. And then one day, Lisa realizes it will be overcast, so Alvin Flying will be human all day. And she really wants to go meet her boss at, like, a barbecue at his house so that she can make a good impression, hopefully get a promotion. So he relents. They go to her boss's house for lunch, and then her boss and his wife hit on Alvin Flying. And then her boss says he wants to promote her to manager so he can retire and take his wife around the world. And then throughout the day, it starts to get sunny, and Alvin Flying turns back into a dog in front of her boss's son, and the boss's son totally snitches on Alvin. And then Lisa falls into the pool from surprise.
For no reason.
Yeah, she can't swim, so Alvin Flying has to jump in and save her, so he calls her a pizza-faced cinder block.
He's so incredulous about needing to do that.
Yeah.
True love, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I mean, it's lucky because nobody else jumped into that pool to save her, though.
It's true. The problem with this movie, as we alluded to, they just throw subplots at you like crazy.
Yep.
It seems like the director or the writer would come to set every day and like, oh, I wrote a new page for the script. Why are we introducing new characters in the third act?
I don't know. At home, Lisa cries some more. Alvin Flank says that there's a way that he could be reborn. He can become human all the time. He has to die first and he'll be reborn. So Lisa cries some more and she says she doesn't want him to die. So they make out. And then at night, Alvin Flang decides he's going to be dog from now on or something. So he leaves her a note saying that she needs a man that can provide her everything she wants, and he leaves. Then he has an argument with the water spirit. Water spirit gives him some vague responses as to why he hasn't become a full man. I guess the water spirit also
requires sacrifice.
I guess the water spirit also gives him some visions of his relationship, and he decides that he loves Lisa and that he's going to work out all their problems. And then he gets hit by a fucking truck and dies.
Oh my God.
That was very jarring, that scene.
Oh God.
You could see it coming a mile away, but it's still very jarring.
Yep. because you didn't think that this movie had to go there.
It's the whole time you're going, they're not going to do this, right? They're not. Oh, they did it, and it was very graphic. Okay.
Yeah, the dog lying there with blueberry jam on it, raspberry jam. It did look very sad though.
Yeah, and Lisa sees the whole thing too. By the way,
they're running at each other.
Yep.
just smash.
Oh my god. There's a lot of points in this movie where I thought that was gonna happen, honestly, because this dog just wanders around near the highway and the and the road at all times.
Yeah, and then
go ahead,
Ann.
Yeah. No, go.
I was gonna say, and then from this point forward, the rest of the movie's a fever.
Oh yeah, this is the point where this movie you thought it was off the rails, and then you realize that it wasn't quite, and then it goes off the rails here. Because she mourns his death, and then I think her mom dies too. This is where her mom just on her deathbed just wants her to find a man, and she says, "No, I'm waiting for Alvin to come back to me."
So petty, so petty of the mother. Right, yeah. Your dying wish, find a man. No.
Yeah. So then Lisa mopes around her apartment and she cries over his leash and whatever. And then we get some years later, we see pop up on the screen. And it, as we've mentioned, it's like 30 fucking years. Elisa lives in the same apartment for those 30 fucking years with the same green goddamn paint job, all the same furniture for 30 years. And she's apparently has decided that now it's time to find a roommate. Paula shows up with her grandkids, not her children, her fucking grandkids.
That's the whiplash moment in that scene.
She's waited all this time for him to come back to her.
What's the point?
Yeah, without realizing, too, that he would have started back from being a baby once he was reborn. It's like a bomb is dropped on Paul. Paula drops a bomb on her. Like, no, honey, he wouldn't be our age. He'd be like, you know, however long it's been since he's died. And she's like, I've never thought about that for 30 fucking years. It never crossed her mind.
Why is Paula the authority on reincarnation all of a sudden?
I don't know, man. She's got all this kind of like jewelry on. Maybe she's like a secret gypsy.
I was gonna say, is she a healer of some kind? Does she believe in crystals?
She's Wiccan. That's the reason. That's really the reason why Lisa was such a bitch to her. Because she was Wiccan.
Yeah, they're the worst, as we all know. So catty.
So I guess Paul decides that she's gonna move in with her. Because a guy shows up asking if there's room for rent, and she tells him that no, not anymore. But guess what? It's Alvin Flang with a brown a brown wig on.
He looks like he belonged in some 41.
And he has a dog. He has a very successful dog training business.
That's so much happens in like the 3 minutes here that I'm like. Man.
It's just info dump right before the movie's over.
Yeah. And then for some reason, he becomes old in this scene.
He becomes old and then they both become young.
Yeah.
So I don't. Is it that. Is becoming young kind of like the end of Titanic, which really means that they just die together in each other's arms and they just back to the time when they both loved each other very much? You know?
That would be great if we cut back to them on their. Like lying on the ground dead.
Their old bodies.
All I kept saying, and I said it to you guys in chat, was when that entire dance sequence was happening, I was like, they both better turn into dogs. They both better turn into dogs. They both better turn into dogs.
Classic Shrek ending.
That would have been a great ending.
I was like, that's the only way I'm satisfied with this ending.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a good like twist. Yeah. Like Lisa talks to the magic spirit. And then, like, the magic spirit turns her into a dog, and they're like, now we could be together forever.
Yeah.
That'd be so sweet.
I just made it better.
But no, and then, yeah, so he says, so he magically ages up to Lisa's age, and he gets a terrible wig to show for it. And then they get married again, and then they become young, and then it just kind of fades out. And that's the end of this ridiculous fucking movie.
One thing I gotta mention that has nothing to do with the plot and all that is that all the graphics and credits... I think I could do on Premiere, and I have zero editing skills. It's literally just putting text box on I've done it for Stranger Damien. Literally just putting a text box and putting some letters on it and changing the font and going, hey, editing.
Mm-hmm.
I can edit.
This movie is wild. And though, I mean, we got through that last act very quickly, but so much shit happened. And it's just, it's bomb drop after bomb drop on you.
Can you imagine being a real person?
10 minutes of a movie. What was that?
Can you imagine being that person where throughout your life you just have constant bomb after constant bomb dropped on you, right? It's just like every day is something new.
Yeah, this woman had an incredible like 6 weeks, let's say, you know, in terms of her relationship with the dog and all that stuff and whatever happens, and then nothing happens to her for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like
still working at that same thrift store.
Yeah.
It's wild. It is so crazy.
And maybe it was just me watching it in two parts, but did she get a haircut midway through the movie?
I don't know.
I don't think she changed anything about herself.
Okay, because for some reason, when I came back and watched it for the second half, there's that scene where she's feeding him human food, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, is her hair shorter? But
I don't know.
I would normally go, I'll go back and check and see. And I'm like, no.
It's so depressing to just imagine the female protagonist in your movie just waiting around in that shitty ass one bedroom apartment for 30 years for nothing good to happen to her life in that time.
Yeah.
Like, what would have been a better ending is if, like, he just showed up as another dog. And I was like, all right, well, it's never really going to get better than this. So, like, after 6 months or something like that, it's like, oh, it's a little puppy. And it's Alvin Flying, but he doesn't turn into a human anymore. Or whatever.
Yeah.
It's wild. Is there anything you guys would do to make this movie better?
Can I just say, I hated this movie.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not great.
That's all I wanted to say. It was bad. I hated it.
Would you do anything to make it better?
So
much?
Yeah, I mean, you could give it, you know, you could edit it properly. You could have some... If you gave me any music behind it, I would have accepted that.
Mm.
You could have put, I don't know, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star behind it, and it would have at least given me something to listen to and give it something to make it stand out. But on its own, this movie is a disgrace to film.
Dan, don't hold back, Dan.
I would rather watch the Snyder Cut than watch this movie again. Ooh. All 4 hours of the Snyder Cut. And wow. I'm predisposed to hate that movie. you can't make this movie any better, man. You can't.
Mark, you want to try?
I think we'll have to do this in like a make it incrementally better. Like, my thing was, I could make this movie slightly better than it is just by having them both be dogs at the end of the movie. That happens, this movie is better.
Sure.
Obviously, besides the obvious stuff, you know, with sound design and music and stuff like that in this movie, it was just, maybe not make him as big of a dick in the first 3 minutes of the movie. You know, like, it was, it, like, I texted you immediately. I was like, I hate this dog. And you were like, he doesn't get better. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, that's about the only thing, is have that twist where they both become dogs at the end. And just make him, you know, over the course of that montage, show that he's an asshole. Don't make it, like, immediately, like, the second scene. You're immediately, like, I want to see this dog die.
Sure.
like, it was,
Mark.
Yeah.
What if you just made the movie darker, and you just didn't stop making it darker? Like, just incrementally, like...
I could do that.
Yeah, like, something like, she loses her job, she gets kicked out of the apartment, she gets into a car accident, and you just keep getting just the, how far can we take Lisa until she just breaks?
She finds Alvin in bed with another dog.
Or no, with another woman as a dog.
No, okay.
Mark didn't like that.
I was like, okay. I was going to say a literal dog, but.
No, I think that would work as well. It's just, my mind has gone, it's snapped right now.
I got needs when I'm in this body,
right? And he just gives snarky comments like that. Yeah,
yeah.
He just turns into Andrew Dice Clay,
right? Right.
I don't know if I have anything to say to make this movie better. Obviously sound design, probably make it shorter. Maybe if you just lean into that Princess and the Frog sort of thing. you know, have the beginning be him turning into a dog, being turned into a dog by the water spirit, and having rules that we could follow. It's like, you need to find true love by the stroke of midnight by the end of the year or something like that to become a dog.
After midnight.
Yeah, or you'll be a dog forever. Something bullshit like that. You know, at least lean into Disney. Disney's got plenty of movies like that. Just copy it. Sometimes these movies, they just try so hard, and they don't need to, because they're not going to, like, set the world on fire regardless. Just, you know, take the templates where they are.
All I hear is that you think it should have been a short.
Yeah.
It should have been, like, 70 minutes long.
not even, like, a 20-minute short?
No. Well, I mean, yeah, probably. I would watch this twice if it was 20 minutes long.
What if we got rid of all the color green in this movie?
I'd be a lot happier. I don't know if it makes the movie better, but it would stop bothering me.
Right, my eyes wouldn't bleed. If you put a mixture of color palettes in, maybe some reds, a little yellow.
It just wouldn't distract me as much as it did.
Right.
Do you guys have anything else that you guys want to say about this movie?
I wish nothing but ill will towards Fen Tien.
Wow. Sure.
That's about it.
Nice.
I know we're supposed to come together right now, but if anyone could drive us further apart, it's this movie.
All right. Yeah. Mark, you got anything?
No. This was by far the worst movie we've ever watched. Yeah. That comes from somebody that always tries to find the positive. I'm just like, nope, there's nothing. Like, it looks like they didn't even try at parts in this movie.
You guys want to plug your shit? Make it quick.
At DAquino122 on Twitter. Also follow our Real Play D&D podcast, Stranger Damies, at Stranger Damies on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, at Stranger Damies airs every Wednesday. Google Play, iTunes, StrangerDamies.podbean.com. The Game Vault Pod. Now we're everywhere as Game Vault Pod on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere. Thank you to Jenny for being able to secure that for us. We have a new episode coming up Monday, so be on the lookout for that. And then we stream probably 5 out of the 7 days most of the time. So just follow the Twitter. We should have a schedule locked in on Monday in terms of that, because we'll probably talk about it while recording the episode. So just keep an eye out at Game Vault Pod on Twitter. If we decided it before this airs, you would have already seen it, and this is all old news to you.
All right. And this has been They Called Us a Movie. You can find us at theycalledusamovie.podbean.com or on all podcast streaming apps just look for They Called Us a Movie. That's iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, you know, wherever you get your podcasts, that's where you could find us. Just look for They Called Us a Movie. We are themaindamie.com. That's our main website. And we are on all social media at The Main Damie. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at The Main Damie. We'll pop right up. We keep those pretty active as much as we can. If you have any questions, comments, you want to suggest a movie for us, themaindamie@gmail.com is where we can be reached via email. And we are a proud member of Geek Vibes Nation. You can find them at gvnation.com. It's their main site. And on all podcast streaming apps, just look for Geek Vibes Nation. They'll pop right up. And on all social media apps at Geek Vibes Nation. I am at AntElvec on Twitter. You can find me there. And that's going to wrap it up this week for Love on a Leash 2011, directed by Jennifer Tan. So for Dan Aquino and Mark Myers, this is Anthony Del Vecchio telling Jennifer Tan to go fuck herself.